ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनीमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ ॐ मे वी ओ गॉड्स हियर विथ अवर इयर्स what is auspicious. May we, O worshipful ones, see with our eyes what is good. May we, strong in limbs and body, sing your praise and enjoy the life allotted to us by Prajapati. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been studying Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad is divided into three chapters. Each chapter is subdivided into two sections. We have just now entered into the second section of the first chapter. Prathama Mundake Dvitiya Khandaha. In our last class, we discussed Tadetat Satyam Yatha Sudiptat Pavakat Vispulingaha Sahasrashaha Prabhavante Sarupaha तथा अक्षरात् विविधाः सौम्य भावाः प्रजायन्ते तत्र च एव अपि यन्ति. दिस् इज द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ. एज फ्रॉम ए ब्लेजिंग फायर स्पार्क्स एसेंशियली अकिन टू इट फ्लाइ फोर्थ बाय द थाउजेंड सो आल्सो माय गुड फ्रेंड डू वेरियस बीइंग्स कम फोर्थ फ्रॉम द इम्पेरिशेबल ब्रह्मन. That is Saguna Brahman, and unto him again return. This is a very wonderful truth. We are all seeking to go back to our own home, which is Brahman. The scripture tells us that we are all the children of God, and that is the greatest truth. Here the Guru, the Maharshi, he is telling us something very important. Supposing there is a blazing fire and thousands of sparks, vispulingaha, come out of it. Now, what would be their nature? They will be also having the nature of the fire only. They can burn. This is an example. That means the effects are non-different from the cause. That is the first meaning. Second meaning is, there are no such thing called effects. It appears to be having effects. Really, there are no effects, because if there is effect, then there would be a big philosophical problem called duality. Cause and effect is never accepted as the ultimate truth by the Advaita Vedantins. But provisionally, it is accepted to explain to small children like us, who do not have that mental capacity to grasp that subtlest of the truths, that Brahman is one. If he is one, he cannot be many. If he cannot be many, he is one. That means he is neither the cause nor the effect. But that will come to us, that understanding is taught to us later on, because we see so many things in front of us. Natural curiosity will goad us. Where from we have come? And where are we going? What is the goal of life, etc.? This is exactly what Swami Vivekananda had done. Each soul is potentially divine. To manifest that divinity is the only goal of life. Every other goal is only an aid to it. And one can reach, that means manifest, to the divinity by following any of the faculties dominant within him through karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, jnana yoga, through worship, through service, through discrimination, through concentration. There are many, many paths, but the goal is exactly one. This is being said, and this is what we had discussed in our last class. What is it? Just as thousands of sparks exactly of the same nature arise out of a blazing fire, so also from this Akshara, here Akshara means Saguna Brahma, Personal God, Ishvara, Jagannatha, these are all special names. If we use Puranic language, that is Narayana, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. Akshara means Personal God, Vividaha, the entire universe, Bhavaha Prajayante, are born, come out of it. So, Vivida Bhava means the living, the non-living, all the Ananta Koti Brahmandas, everything that we experience as this cosmos is coming only from God, not from inert nature. Many scientists nowadays have become highly skeptical of the existence of God. First reason, they do not come across the scripture. Second reason, they do not have the desire even to inquire deeply. If nature is behaving so wonderfully, then what prompts the nature to obey it? In today's Katha Upanishad, we found bhayat, asmat, agnihi tapati, etc. It is out of fear of him. There is a principle called rhythm, and the rhythm is universal law. And that law, the fire burns, the wind blows, the sun shines, the water wets. All these axiomatic truths, 2 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 3 is 6, not one syllable, one digit, it differs from it. This is called axiomatic truth. In fact, the whole of modern science is based upon this mathematical axiomatic truths. If these truths were to deviate from their nature, which of course they will not, then the whole science falls into pieces. Nothing can be predicted at all. So, to the disciple, the guru is teaching, and that through Guru Sishya Sampradaya, we are getting this wonderful truth. We have everything in this world. The whole universe has come from that Akshara. This word Akshara means that which is indestructible. Kshara means that which is destructible, that which deviates from its nature. But it is Akshara. Why? Sri Ramakrishna explains. Brahman and Shakti are exactly one and the same. And Shankaracharya himself, suppose to follow this hard Advaita, he also had written in that beautiful book, that is Saundarya Lahari, I think the very first mantra, Shivaha Shaktiya Yukto Yedina Bhavati Shaktaha Prabhavitum. If Shakti is not there, then even Shiva will be Shava, Vishnu will be Shava, Brahma will be a Shava. Meaning, Saguna Brahma means Brahman with Saguna, which is called Shakti, which is called Maya in Vedantic language. And there is a lot of misunderstanding about the word Maya. Sri Ramakrishna had turned the whole thing upside down and said, do not call it Maya, it will bind you more. Call it Mahamaya, the Divine Mother. Out of her infinite grace, she will accept you as her child and she will do the best that is good for you, which is to say, she will give dharma, artha, kama as well as moksha. It's a beautiful saying in tantric language that if somebody becomes a child of the Divine Mother, that she will give both bhukti as well as mukti. She will give worldly happiness as well as liberation. But if a person is stubborn and follows his own method, he might get mukti, he may not get bhukti. Or some people may get bhukti, means worldly enjoyment, but may not get liberation. But the devotee of the Divine Mother will enjoy both bhukti as well as mukti. That's why Sri Ramakrishna recommended tantras are most effective in this world, and also to promote the idea of the motherhood of God. Perhaps some of you must have been wondering, why of all the deities, Sri Ramakrishna had chosen to worship Mother Kali? He was coming from a committed Vaishnava family, Ramayat family. And really, there is no reason to think why he should have accepted Divine Mother Kali. It is to propagate the idea of the motherhood, divine motherhood. If an ordinary mother can be so kind, loving, compassionate, forgiving, forbearing, and ready to sacrifice her life, then what about the Divine Mother, who is the mother of the whole universe? That is why Chandi goes into ecstasies, hymning the Divine Mother, Yadevi Sarva Bhuteshu, Matru Rupena, Daya Rupena, Kshama Rupena, etc., etc. So anyway, coming back, the whole world is from God, is in God, and ultimately realizes, I am from God, I am in God, I never stepped outside God. So this is the meaning of this, everything, tatha, like the vispulingas, aksharat, from this saguna brahma, vividhaha bhavaha prajayante. Everything that we call created things, living, non-living, everything come out of it, and they contain the same nature, like the sparks contain the nature of the fire only. There is not one wee bit of difference between them. They remain there for some time, and then where do they go? Tatra cha eva apiyanti. They go on merging in the same thing. So that verse which we discussed so far has described Saguna Brahman as the cause and the ultimate goal of all living beings. The following verse, which is the second mantra, indicates Nirguna Brahman or pure consciousness, which is higher than Saguna Brahman, being free from the diversity of upadhis. Upadhi means a limited adjunct. It is described, that means Brahman, Saguna Brahman or Nirguna Brahman is described by a negation of attributes. Divyo hi amurtaha purushaha sa bahya bhyantarohyajaha aprano hi amanaha shubhro hi aksharat parataha paraha. Is divya. Divya means divine. Divine means he is the self-luminous. Like light, he shines. How? In what form? As the this is what I am. I. Even a mountain has got that I am a mountain. Only like a sleeping person, it cannot express it. Every existent thing will be associated with these three things. Sat, existence, then chit, that knowledge, and ananda. We have to have faith in the scriptures. What are you talking, Swamiji? Does a stone has knowledge? Does a stone has got also ananda? We know that it exists. Does it know that it exists? I quoted a beautiful incident from the life of Sri Ramakrishna. One day Sri Ramakrishna was walking on the banks of the Ganges. Suddenly he felt something is following him. He looked back. He was astonished to find a big heavy stone was following him. He rubbed his eyes and said, How is it possible for a stone to follow like a living being? And then he was observing this time, and if he moved forward, the stone was also moving behind him. And he observed it for some time. Later on he exclaimed, "Who can draw a line and say, this is living, this is non-living?" In fact, as I explained umpteen number of times in my past classes, for a Hindu who believes in the scriptures, everything is God. Every religion says everything, the whole creation came out of God. God is the creator. If God has created, everything must be having the same nature as God. Where does anyone say a stone is not having God's nature? Only an animal is not having a God's nature, and a demonic person is not having a God's nature. Only a great saint, a devotee alone is having God's nature. That is a completely irrational statement and understanding. So the Lord is self-luminous, amurtaha, without any form. Nirguna Brahma, impersonal aspect of God. Not the creator, not the maintainer, not the destroyer. He is the impersonal, Parabrahma. He cannot have any forms. Only Saguna Brahma is contained as the form, because the whole world that we experience as so many different varieties, that is the totality of this world is called Saguna Brahma. He is not another person like a potter sitting somewhere after creating hundreds of pots. He is there as a shopkeeper to sell them. The totality of this world is called Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma has forms, but not Nirguna Brahma. Purushaha, he is all-pervading. If he is all-pervading, he is bahyaha, outside. He is also abhyantaraha, he is inside. If something is both outside and inside, there is nothing further to divide it. It is our illusion that divides outside and inside, and he is everything. That is the idea. Ajaha is unborn. Apranaha is not limited by what we call the creation. He is without prana, but prana comes out of him. He is the very creator of prana, and he is more subtler and more pervasive than prana. So also beyond the prana, beyond the mind, shubhraha, he is pure, because only when two things come into contact, both become impure. Since Brahman is one, there is nothing to make it impure, and something can become impure in course of time. But since Brahman is beyond time, space and causation, then he, nothing can make him as impure. And aksharat parataha paraha. In my last class, I mentioned this akshara, taking the verse from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, so yasmadaham sharat aksharat api urdhvaha. So he says here akshara means Saguna Brahma. There I mentioned in my last class, it is Jivatma, pure Jivatma, without association with body mind, is called akshara in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The Prakruti and the Jivatma, Prakruti is called akshara and Jivatma is called akshara. And the Lord says, I have no relationship either with the Jivatma or the Prakruti. That's why I am called Purushottamaha, Uttama Purushaha. So here we have to take it akshara. Kshara means that which decays, that which is destroyable, temporary, limited. But Saguna Brahma is a totality, and he cannot be destroyed because he is none other than Paramatma himself, Parabrahma himself. So, aksharat parataha paraha. So far as we are concerned, Ishvara is the highest manifestation of Parabrahma. But that Parabrahma is superior. Superior means not big, not greater. It means more subtle. It is infinite. And that is what Parabrahma real means. Parataha paraha. He is beyond the Akshara, which is called Saguna Brahma. Therefore, Saguna Brahma is limited. And Nirguna Brahma, you cannot say he is limited, he is unlimited, he is having forms, he is formless. That great truth Sri Ramakrishna tells, God is with form, without form. And when Sri Ramakrishna says, God is with form, he is meaning this visible, experienceable world. When he says he is beyond form, he means exactly this akshara used in this Mundaka Upanishad, which is the creator, Ishvara, Saguna Brahma. And he is beyond both form and formlessness. That is what Sri Ramakrishna meant. He is both Nirguna Brahma, Saguna Brahma, and this world also is nothing but that, as this Mundaka Upanishad, the first and the second mantras, conclusively back up Sri Ramakrishna's statement. He is with form. That means he manifests in the form of the creation. And he who can manifest creation is really formless. Form means limitation. Formlessness means there can be no limitation. That unlimited, but who comprises this entire experienceable jagat, this world, he is called Saguna Brahma, personal God. He is not only personal God, but he is beyond the personal God. That is to say, he is Parabrahma. Sri Ramakrishna again says, there are two concepts of Brahman. He gives a beautiful analogy, a snake with movement, without movement. A snake without movement is compared to, by Sri Ramakrishna, to Parabrahma, Supreme Reality. And a snake with motion is Saguna Brahma, that which does creation, srishti, sthiti, laya. That's what exactly he means. Divine Mother Kali, I explained quite a number of times, Divine Mother Kali is called Saguna Brahma. Why? She is based upon Nirguna Brahma, who is in the form of Mahakala. That is, she is a manifestation of this Mahakala, timelessness, which is another name for Nirguna Brahma or Parabrahma. And when you look at Divine Mother's Kali's, she has got four hands. Right two hands are symbolizing Srishti and Sthiti, creation and sustenance, maintenance. And the left two hands, that indicates, symbolizes dissolution. The whole world is coming out from the unmanifest, remains manifest, again goes back to non-manifestation. That is the most marvelous conception. And she is the mother. Why mother? Because Srishti, creation, comes only from the Divine Mother. And why mother? Because it is the mother who looks after the baby, who sustains the baby, who supports the baby. The baby is brought up from her own womb, of her own nature, and it is the mother, motherly love, with infinite forbearance, with infinite forgiveness, with infinite love. Even if the child turns against the mother can never be turned against her own creation, because she knows, this is my child. Child may not know, consciously at least, this is my mother. He may not be willing to accept it. That's why Shankaracharya goes into ecstasy saying, Kuputro bhaveta kvachidapi. There can be a bad son, quite a number of bad sons. Kvachidapi kumata na bhavati. Evil mother can never be there. That's what we have discussed in our last class. We move on. This is what the Mundaka Upanishad is telling, that from that Saguna Brahma, everything has come. The rest of this particular section is with creation, just as we have seen in Katha Upanishad also. In the Mantra 3, this is being explained or elaborated further. Etasma jayate prano manaha sarve indriyani cha kam vayur jyotir apaha prithivi vishvasya dharini. Etasma, from him are born prana, mind, all the sense organs, akasha, air, fire, water and earth, which supports all. The earth which supports all. Let us see how logically, beautifully, the Srishti Krama, the process of creation, has been explained. From that Parabrahma, when he manifests a little bit, he is called Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma is associated with Shakti, because any activity requires energy. Shakti means energy. So, Parabrahma with energy is called Saguna Brahma. He is as if a little degeneration, grossification of the Parabrahma. And from that Saguna Brahma, called Ishvara, called Jagajanani, called Brahma Vishnu Maheshwara, comes the entire creation. We have already discussed about that. Here, this is just a mere repetition of that. Etasmat aksharat means Saguna Brahma, Brahmanaha, jayate. Everything that we call this entire universe came out of that Saguna Brahma. What has come? Pranaha. Prana means the first impulse of life. It is not individual prana, but it is cosmic prana. Then came manas, because this prana must be having a goal in life. Prana is full of energy, but energy must be controlled and directed by a driver. Just as your car is full of energy, petrol converts, the whole mechanism is to be used. It is bubbling with activity, and you must have seen, the best illustration is just before an aeroplane takes off, you can see what power is manifest there. The entire aeroplane carrying so many hundreds of tons of weight, its own weight, for all the luggage, all the people, etc., it is vibrating with impatient energy because the brakes are only stopping it. The moment the permission is given, it moves forward at incredible speed and with that takes off into the air. So, this prana is like with brakes. And what is it that controls the brakes? It is called mind. So, one way of describing the process of creation is first prana and then this mind. This prana plus mind is the entire creation. That is one description. And then from this mind comes the further grossification, manifestation of both the prana and mind in the form of the sarva indriyanicha, all the sense organs. How many sense organs are there? 10 sense organs are there. 5 of knowledge, 5 of action. This is one type of classification. But we are familiar with the other second type of classification, and perhaps we are more familiar with the second type. What is it? That panchabhutas, 5 elements. What are the 5 elements? So, Taittiriya Upanishad beautifully describes Atmana akashaha sambhutaha. From this Atman came out, manifested akasha, space. Very beautiful description, meaningful description, because the moment you decide to do something, the first thing you need is a space. You want to move your chair, then you need space. You want to walk some distance, you need space. You want to create something, you need space. You want to construct a house, you need space. Whatever you want to do, your energy is there. But for that energy to be transformed into something concrete, the first thing you need is akasha, space. Akasha dvayuhu, vayu ragnihi, agni rapaha, adhya prithivi, prithivyam oshadayaha, oshadibhyo annam, annat rasamayaha, purushaha. This is the process of more and more grossification. Space became more gross, that is called vayu. Vayu became more manifest, more graspable, and that is called fire. Fire became more graspable, more gross, and that is called water, jala, adhyaha. And from water came this prithivi. That's why if we want to discover some another planet which is more favorable for us to live, we look for two things there. First of all, the water. Secondly, some breathable air. If these two are there, then that may be utilized by us for going there and establishing a colony. All the astronomers are looking, because the capacity of our present population is incapable of sustaining it for any length of time. So this is what is being described. Etasmat, for the ultimately it is the formless, what is called Parabrahma, impersonal aspect of God. And that is manifesting to us in the form of Saguna Brahma. That's why we can only worship the Saguna Brahma, never the Parabrahma. Parabrahma doesn't have eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and then hands and legs to come and do. When Gajendra was in trouble, he prayed to the Lord, it is the Saguna Brahma in the form of Narayana who could come and then kill the crocodile and release both the crocodile as well as the king elephant, both. So it is only Saguna Brahma we pray, we take his name, and then we meditate upon him, and that Saguna Brahma out of great compassion manifests to us in the form of our own individual gurus. That is why Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Parabrahma. Remember, that is absolute truth. So in this third mantra, what is telling the entire creation, and I and you and everybody is within that creation. So we all came from Saguna Brahma called Ishvara or Jagat Janani. Since the spark contains the exact nature of the fire, like that, we also have the exact nature of this Saguna Brahma, which is, we are eternal, we are immortal, we are Sat Chit Ananda, we are Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. This is what Swami Vivekananda proclaimed, this wonderful truth to the Western people who never connected, that they believed in a Creator God, but they believed that they are all separate from the Creator God. Separate means they do not have His nature. That is called separation. That's why Swamiji scolded them and said, it is a blasphemy to call a human being a sinner. Because if this human being is created by God, if human being is called sinner and sinfulness is his nature, then his creator also should be of sinful nature only. That's not acceptable. That's why this was the message. Unconsciously, millions of people are waiting like thirsty chataka birds for the rainfall. When Swamiji showered with thunders, then everybody's heart opened and said, my God, if only we had missed this message, our life would have been an absolute meaningless shunya, that is, nothingness. This is what is being said here. But what Vedanta tells, Upanishads tells us is that the effect is illusory. Effect is not a separate object. Let me give you a small illustration. A pot has come are made out of clay. And we say, that is clay and this is a pot. Now, what is the weight of the pot? The weight of the clay. What is the taste of the pot? The taste of the clay. What is the smell of the pot? The smell of the clay. Is there anything that can separate the pot from the clay? In fact, the clay and the pot can never be separated, because the pot is nothing but pure clay, but in the form of a particular shape for a particular purpose. So even if you break that pot, it remains only as pot shreds or nothing but clay. With this understanding, this creation is not a separate thing. With this example, the mantra wants to tell us the creation and the creator essentially are one and the same. It is only for the sake of nama, rupa and prayojana we give it. This is a man, this is an animal, this is a plant, this is an insect, this is living, this is non-living. The whole thing is a manifestation of, as we just now saw, five main elements, panchabhutas, akasha, vayu, agni, jala and prithivi. So, our bodies and minds and the external world, everything has come out of that. This separation is created by our sense of ego, which is called maya. The moment that ego is removed, the moment you remove that word pot, what remains is nothing but clay in a particular shape. Then the idea, the doubt may come, why did the name come? The name came because the name is to distinguish a small clay pot from a bigger clay pot, a round clay pot from a square clay pot. It is only for our convenience, for our prayojana utility, but in fact, every pot is nothing but clay and there is no separate object. You cannot take a knife or a sword and say, I am separating the clay and the pot. It is impossible. So, the creator and the creator. Who is the creator? It's called Upadana Karana, material cause. And what is the creator? It is the same thing with Namarupa. If you take a khadga and remove the difference between Ishvara, the creator and the created, in fact, you can never do it because you cannot separate clay from clay. You cannot separate. There is now no two things called clay and pot, gold and ornament, wood and furniture. That's why this is what is called mithya. Mithya means the clay pot is not mithya. Our idea it is separate from the clay is called mithya. From the standpoint of pure consciousness, the created objects do not exist. It is through maya alone that Brahman appears as the universe and all created objects. So, before also it was Brahman, during the act of creation also it is Brahman, and at the end it is nothing but Brahman. Every modification according to Vedanta is unreal. And this idea of modification is an idea. It is an idea in the mind. They are mere words. A pot is a mere word. A cup is a mere word. They have no independent existence apart from their cause. And if we can understand this, the whole universe is nothing but this beautiful Parabrahma. That means what? Ishvara or Parabrahma is eternally free. If they are, that is the nature. Freedom is their very nature. If they are free, the created beings are also absolutely free. That is the idea this mantra is driving into our minds. Further, the imperishable and attributeless absolute has been described in the second verse of this chapter. Now, the same absolute is being described, the subject matter of higher knowledge. This is being discussed in detail. It has been said earlier that the attributeless absolute is not at all different from Saguna Brahma, who is the direct cause of creation. Remember Sri Ramakrishna's words, a little bit peculiar. In Vedanta, we don't use Brahman and Shakti are exactly one and the same. Brahman means impersonal aspect of God, but Shakti means what we call Ishvara, creator in Vedanta. So, Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma are not at all separate. Now, we move on to the fourth mantra. Here, the beautiful description is given of the universal form of the Saguna Brahma. Mind you, I reminded you earlier that what is Ishvara? The totality of this experienceable, what we call universe or world, is another name for Ishvara. He is not like a potter. That idea that the pot and the potter are completely separate has to be destroyed from our mind forever. Saguna Brahma and this world are not two separate things. Ishvara and this Jagat are not separate at all. This is a most wonderful truth Vedanta wants to impress upon our minds again and again. That is being called, what is this? This whole universe, it is nothing but that Saguna Brahma manifested to us, manifested in the sense that because we look at this Saguna Brahma through the limited senses, mind and body complex, he appears to be having name, form, qualities, etc. So, time, space and causation, through that prism, we are looking at ourselves. Just imagine, I'll give a beautiful analogy. Supposing you are in front of a very, what is called, lifelike mirror, and you are standing in front of that mirror. And normally what should happen? You should be able to see your reflection, and that is how you know who you are. Funny thing is, if you had never looked at any reflection, either in the mirror or in the water or anywhere, you would never recognize your photograph anywhere. Because we see practically every day so many times in a mirror, that is why we know how we look in a photograph at all. That apart, what we are trying to do. Supposing you are standing, and supposing in between you and the mirror, everything is ready. Brilliant light is there. A mirror is clean. You are standing right in front of it. But in between you and the mirror, there is a black glass. How does your reflection appear to you then? You look at your reflection as black. If it is multicolored obstruction, film, then how do you appear? It's exactly the same. I hope you are able to get this, but in case this is a bit difficult, look at any cinema. All of us see our TV or mobile and cinema hall also we go sometimes. What do you see? You see a beautiful screen and you are sitting in front of that screen in the audience. Suddenly the light comes. What does the light do? It reflects nothing but pure the screen. What is it telling? The screen is reflecting not the screen but the beautiful light of the light that is falling upon it. The screen is proving to you that pure light, because without light you can neither see the cognize the light and much less the screen. And slowly the projector starts. And what happens first thing? The screen disappears. Then what you see? Innumerable objects moving, running, sitting, laughing, crying, joking, weeping. The same thing that we see in this world all around us, that is happening there. And then you forget the screen. Of course, you never cognize the light, but just to switch off that light, what happens? The entire hall becomes so totally darkened, you won't be able to see even your own hand. So, what is this illustration for? all those figures that you see on that screen, and that screen is compared to a mirror, and whatever figures you see, they are nothing but different manifestations of the light which is falling. Bright light is a sunlight. Small light, immediately it is in the form of a dog, and it is a dog. In the form of a man, it is a man. In the form of a tree, that is a tree. But all this is nothing but play of the light, of different shades of light on that screen. I hope you understand that this whole universe is like that projected figures, but everything is manifest only because of the light, Atma Chaitanya. That is being described here, a whole universal form of Saguna Brahma. And we see that whenever we meditate upon our Ishtadevata, for example, Hridaya Kamalamathye Rajitam Nirvikalpam Sada Sadakila Bhedatitam Ekaswarupam Prakruti Vikruti Shunyam Nityam Anandamurtim Vimala Paramahamsam Ramakrishnam Bhajamaha. What are you talking about? This is the Dhyana Mantra. Like that, there are many, many beautiful shlokas describing Sri Ramakrishna for the sake of facility of our contemplation by Srimad Swami Abhedanandaji Maharaj. So, what are we talking about? This Upanishad is also telling. And then what happens? When we have that kind of vision, and it can come only by the grace of God. How do we know? Because in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we have seen the whole 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord describes the whole universe is nothing but manifestation of myself in the form of the body, in the form of the mind, in the form of the extraordinary qualities of the mind. And Arjuna said, whatever you say is Paramasatya, absolute truth, but I am unable to see it, direct experience is not there. It is only your words. Will you kindly make me go through that experience? And the Lord, out of His grace, we all know what He did. He says, you will not be able to see my Vishwarupa, what I described, with your ordinary eyes. So He says, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshuho Pashyame Rupam Aishwaram. See the glory of my universal form, I will give you very special spiritual contact lens. Divya Chakshuho. That's what I am going to do. So, for the sake of contemplation, this Mundaka Upanishad in this fourth mantra is describing the universal form of the Saguna Brahma. Why Saguna Brahma? Why not Nirguna Brahma? Because Nirguna Brahma has nothing to do with creation. There is no body, there is no mind, there is no seer, there is no seen. This is applicable only when we think, I am separate, Ishvara is separate, and then I want to see this whole world as a manifestation of God. So what is the mantra saying? Agnir Murtha Chakshushi Chandra Suryav Dishaha Shrotri Vak Vivrutascha Vedaha Vayuhu Pranaha Hridayam Vishwam Asya Padbhyam Prithivi Hi Esha Sarvabhutantaratma. This Saguna Brahma is Sarvabhutantaratma. As the Gopika said, Nakhalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Drip. Sarva Bhuta Antaratma. He is the inner dweller, he is the inner consciousness, he is the inner controller of every manifested thing in this world. Just like clay is the inner controller of everything that is made up of clay. So here is a mantra. It is called Dhyana Mantra. What is it telling? Agnir Murtha. Let me first read out the beautiful translation. The heavens are His head, the sun and the moon are His eyes, the four quarters are His ears, the revealed Vedas are His speech, the wind is His breath, the universe is His heart, from His feet is produced the earth. He is indeed the inner self of all beings. Here, Agni is not what we call ordinary one of the five elements. Here, Agni is nothing but Brahman. So, heavens. Sometimes, the Upanishads use the word heaven and they use the word, instead of saying Divaha, they use the word Agni. So, what is he telling? The heavens. You want to see just like a human form. Just as Taittiriya Upanishad gives the description of the Atman, Annamaya Purusha or Pranamaya Purusha in the form of a bird. So, here also a human form is imagined. Imagine this divine being, Narayana, let us say. What is he? What is his head? The heavens. Because head is always above. Then what are his eyes? The sun and the moon. Because he has to see everything. And we also have to see him. So our head is Bhagavan's head. Our eyes are Bhagavan's eyes. And our ears are Bhagavan's ears. Our speech is Bhagavan's speech. Our breath is Bhagavan's breath. Our heart is Bhagavan's. There is nothing called we. Everything belongs only to him. So this is said, imagine, his head is the heavens, his eyes are the sun and moon, his ears are the quarters, his speech is the revealed Vedas, his breath is the wind. The wind is nothing but in-breathing and out-breathing. I can tell you something very interesting here. In this world, there are human beings, animals, etc., and then plants. They are what we call interdependent. Why interdependent? Plants will die if they breathe oxygen. And human beings will die if they breathe carbon dioxide. So what do we do? Bhagavan created this world. The plants, they breathe. And they breathe out. What do they breathe out? Oxygen. So when they breathe out oxygen, we take it in. What is out breath to them is in breath for us. But they will die. They also have to live. So what do? When we breathe out, it becomes carbon dioxide. And then they breathe in that carbon dioxide, transform it, and then give it back. This mutual help is going on throughout the universe. That is why the latest wisdom that came to the scientists says that everything in this world is dependent upon everything else in this world. You cannot destroy anything in this world unless you want to destroy yourself. This is called holistic attitude. So, once more to go, his head, imagine Saguna Brahma's head at the heavens, and his eyes, sun and moon. That means also anything that emits light, the fire, and then the stars, anywhere the light comes, because if we can't see the light, we can't see. Not only that, the function of the light is to provide life itself to everything in this world. It is not mere torchlight, you move here and there. If there were to be no sunlight, no moonlight, no starlight, no firelight, and no walk light, the light of the speech, life is impossible upon this earth. So that are his eyes, the quarters, four quarters, the space, that is his ears. Sound travels only in space. So this space is his ears. Then whatever comes out is knowledge. And the totality of that knowledge is called Vedas. Therefore, his speech is nothing but Vedas. He has to breathe if he is alive. So he is breathing in, breathing out. In the form of plants, he is breathing out oxygen. In the form of human being, he is breathing out carbon dioxide. So everything is harmoniously synchronized, sustained. Everything is moving nicely. That is called rhythm. And where is his heart? This entire universe is his heart. That's why it is said, Mata me Annapurna Devi, Pita Devo Maheshwara, Bandhavaha Shobhaktascha, Swadesho Bhuvanatrayam. So from his feet, where is the earth? The earth is compared to his feet because it is down below. That means without the earth, we can never be sustained. What sustains us? What makes us stay upon this earth is earth. What makes us sustain in the form of food, etc., that is also earth. He has created us, he is maintaining, nourishing, sustaining us, and ultimately he will take all of us back into his lap. This is his universal form. He is indeed the inner self of all beings, not only inner self, he is the outer self, he is everything in this world. That's why in the Vishnu Sahasranama, the very first thing is universal form of God. It is called Vishwam. Then only comes the word Vishnu. This beautiful mantra is revealing to us that the whole universe has come out from God, it is sustained by God, and it returns back to God. And if we can know, understand, and realize that fact, we will all be relating to ourselves to that our cause. We are friends, we are servants, we are children, we are parents, we are the lovers and beloveds. And with this, we realize that Brahman in our heart of hearts, vimuktaksha vimuchyate. The moment that knowledge comes, I am nothing separate from God, I am from God, I am God, whatever the expression may be, I am a devotee, I am a servant, I am a friend, I am a neighbor, I am the parent, I am the beloved, these are all but inadequate human words. All it means is, I and my mother, divine mother, I belong to her, she belongs to me, and there is no difference between she and me. For the sake of contemplation, as I said, this beautiful expression that the cause and effect are completely non-different, therefore the idea of cause and effect is completely vain, useless, meaningless. If we can understand that, then only, as Swamiji says so beautifully, Shrunvantu Vishve Amrutasya Putra. And further description of this creation is coming to us in next few mantras, and how beautifully this Mundakopanishad is describing in the most subliminal Sanskrit expression, so that which uplifts our minds, we will discuss in our future classes. Om Bhadram Karne Vishrunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashye Makshabhiryajatraha Stirairangaye Stushtuvagum Sastanobhihi Vyashema Devahitan Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vridhashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha Swastina Starkshu Arishtanimihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.